House of Rugby Ireland, here on Joe, together with Guinness. Game changed.
You're very welcome to House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Ian Madigan here with Geordie Murphy for a chat. Great to have you on, George. Obviously, you're a goal ambassador, similar to myself.
Yeah, well, obviously in these strange times, Goal, one of the really big, obviously, charity in Ireland, is having a lot of difficulty this year organising Goal Mile. Well, it's not actually going to be able to be organised events around the country, so they're going virtual this year. So, obviously, due to government guidelines and COVID this year, they can't have large gatherings and events, so they're hoping that people will do their own Goal Mile with kind of close friends and family, obviously keeping safe and at a good distance around the Christmas period. And they'll still go online and register at goalmile.org. And obviously all the money goes to a brilliant cause. And it's one of those things that, like, personally I've done for years with friends and family. And it'd just be a nice thing to still be able to do around the Christmas period. Obviously, I've touched on it, they won't be able to organise large events. But on that Christmas morning, lunchtime or Boxing Stephen's Day, whatever you want to call it, that kind of time with friends and family where you want to get out and just get a bit of fresh air, and why not try and support a great charity like Goal while doing it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I believe your granddad was behind the great idea to start it off.
Yeah, so my granddad Noel Carroll was an Olympic runner for Ireland. He's passed away now, about 20 years, but he had a really strong connection with Goal. And according to my mother, he came up with the idea for the Goal Mile back in 1982. So it's obviously grown a lot since then. And as I said, it's one of those things that I really remember growing up was Christmas Day, always going down to Belfield when the old running track was there and going meeting friends and family. And my family was always involved in kind of the money collection side of things as well, and just trying to help out in any way they could on the day. So I'm delighted, obviously, to be jumping on board with Goal and to be able to promote it in whatever way I can, and to try and continue that tradition, I suppose, and a bit of a legacy that he's left there. So the last couple of years, I haven't been doing it in Belfield, but anytime I've got down, I've tried to do it with my mother and her husband John down in Herbert Park. But this year it might be a Belfast Goal Mile for me and for you, I hope.
Absolutely. Yeah, I have great memories of doing the Goal Mile when I was younger. I remember in the earlier years, it would have been me and Dave, my older brother, trying to beat my dad on the track. And then once we passed him out, we'd be competing with each other. But yeah, it was always very competitive. That's obviously not the main reason behind doing it, but I think we couldn't help ourselves when we were younger. And I remember really trying to get after Dave, and he was always a bit fitter and a bit quicker than me. But I think he was in sixth year one year, and I was in third year, still fit and a good bit lighter. And he'd been out for a few pints on Christmas Eve, so that was my time to go get him. And the two of us ended up running each other into the ground, ended up with a persistent cough for the rest of the day. So I certainly wouldn't recommend that. But no, it's great.
Well, that's the great thing about it, isn't it? Just doing it, like, to kind of either jog, walk. It's some people crawling the bloody thing, you know, and then other people are trying to sprint around, do it as fast as possible. So it's kind of for everyone. Bring the dog along, push the prams, everything. So, that was the great thing about it. It was kind of inclusive for everyone, wasn't it? So,
yeah, absolutely. And we've both been lucky enough as ambassadors of Goal to see the great work that Goal does on the ground. I was lucky enough to go over to Ethiopia with Leo Cullen, another good friend of ours, and you know, I got to see where the money goes, I suppose. And you really get to see firsthand that they really are making a huge difference, changing lives over there, which is brilliant. Yeah, so it's certainly a great charity to get behind. So hopefully everyone gets out over the Christmas period, not necessarily on Christmas Day, but at some stage. And as you said, get a bit of fresh air into the lungs and see if you can post a good time. But moving on to the rugby stuff, George, obviously you joined Ulster back in 2018, and you know, I think we're both in agreement that the team has come on, you know, a huge amount in that time. But what have been the kind of key changes that you've seen in the time that you've been at the club?
Yeah, well, to be honest, when I was coming up, I didn't really know too much about the academy setup and what kind of talent was coming through. So I think that I was really pleasantly surprised when I came up. And I think we're seeing the fruits of that in the last kind of season and a half. A lot of kind of guys that have come through in the last year or two are really stamping their mark. So I think that's great, because I suppose, especially in my last couple of years at Leinster, you kind of knew who the Ulster guys were, or kind of what team would probably be playing every weekend. And you didn't really see that many young academy guys coming through. But I think in the last year, like obviously the likes of say James Hume or Rob Balakoon, Rob Little, Dave McCann, who's coming through now in the back row, and they've just got plenty of talent coming through, which is great, because that's kind of, you're looking towards the future there. You know that it's in good hands and that there's some really quality players coming through. I guess as well, when I first came up, there had a lot of turmoil the year before. The rugby hadn't gone great. Obviously, a couple of coaches left. So it was great when Dan came in. So we had Dwayne Peel there, and Jared Payne are still doing a brilliant job. But it was great when Dan came in and kind of put his own stamp on things. And obviously that took a little while. But I suppose to a lot of people, we surpassed expectations the first season. Maybe not so much for ourselves, but I suppose the first year was a growth year for us, and kind of finding our identity and seeing what kind of rugby we wanted to play. And I think if you watched us play nowadays, you can see we want to be an expansive team. We want to play running rugby, but we also want to be really attritional when it comes to the business end of the pitch, inside people's 22, just to be ruthless and making sure we're taking points every time. So I don't know if that really answers your question. It's more, I'm just talking about positives really in the squad. I feel that there's a really good mix of some quality international guys, obviously the likes of, say, Rob Herring or Jacob Stockdale and Henderson, and then some really quality young guys coming through as well. And I think it's really shown in the first, what are we, seven games into the season. I think we've played 40 plus guys in those seven games. So it's really shows there's good squad rotation at the moment. Whereas in the past, maybe the team, you could probably guess the 23 to 25 guys that were going to be involved every week if they were fit, whereas now there seems to be a lot more competition for places. It means the training intensity is really high. It means no one's too complacent, which hopefully and at the moment is paying dividends. And for the future, we hope for that as well. Obviously, the better your training and the more competition you can have midweek means the better you'll perform on the weekend, because you kind of know every time you go out, you got to put your best foot forward and you got to play your best game. So I think it's in a pretty healthy place. Obviously, Dan McFarlane's always said that he wants to be a championship team and consistently competing for championships. So we're obviously not there yet, but if we keep taking these strides forward, obviously last year we had a disappointing end with that final against Leinster, but to be in that position, hopefully we can learn from those losses, and in the times ahead we can start competing for championships on both fronts, not just European but also domestic league as well.
Yeah, certainly. I'd agree with you on that. You know, I've been really impressed with the depth that the squad has had. And, you know, my previous perception of Ulster would have been similar to yours, is, you know, you can roughly pick a large part of the team without, you know, having to overly exert yourself. Whereas now you look at, for example, our centres, you know, you've got the likes of Stu Moore, James Hume coming through, Luke Marshall, Stu McCluskey. And like, what that gives you is it gives the coaches options to play a slightly different way from week to week. It also means that guys are you know, kept fresh. You're not run into the ground. And like, you know, for example, you in your first season would have played nearly every game. And while that's great and you're kind of in a good flow and it has this positive, at some point in the season, you'll run out of steam. And, you know, you can't do that the way the season is now with, you know, 30 odd games. You need to be able to rotate. And I think that's similar in our back row as well. You know, there's great competition there between, you know, yourself, Reedy, the Ray brothers, Marcel. It means that you guys can go out, empty the tank for 60 or 80 minutes, and then you might be rotated after two or three games, or you've got a guy who's really hungry coming off the bench. And the other thing as well, is, and you touched on it there, is how competitive training is. You know, I think with Dwayne and Jared, you know, you have two young coaches with good, fresh ideas. You know, Jared is kind of novel as a defense coach. He enjoys when his defense gets beaten in training because he, you know, his philosophy is guys will learn from it. And similar, Peely wants to play with real intensity. And, you know, our midweek session during the week, you know, it feels like pretty much a game, you know, and that that is allows us to kind of build week on week. And I suppose even the age profile of our squad allows us to train, you know, as hard as we do during the week. Whereas if you'd guys who, you know, are carrying niggles and only going game to game without getting much training under the belt, it's very hard to improve week to week.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I think what you just said there about there's not really any room for being able to just turn up on, say, a Saturday or Sunday, play your game and then not train for the week and then play again, because that's just not the way it's done at Ulster under Dan. You really have to turn up at training, and if you don't, you're not going to get picked. So I think it keeps everyone on their toes. It keeps everyone hungry. And yeah, I think just we're saying it again, but the competition midweek definitely going to help us out in the weekend when we go out and play teams. So it's an exciting place to be.
Yeah, certainly. Onto the Irish stuff then. Obviously, you were at the last two World Cups, you know, and only played for Ireland, you know, a year ago. Obviously, it's very competitive at the moment, but, you know, I'm sure you harbour ambitions of getting back into that Irish squad.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I suppose if you're on the island of Ireland and you've got a chance of playing for Ireland, I think you're always going to have that ambition. Like, you know, yourself, you're back here now. I'm sure you've got aspirations to get back in green. So I think any rugby player that tells you that they don't have aspirations will be lying. So yeah. It's definitely one of those things. It's on the radar, but suppose I know myself, like I probably haven't been playing up to the standard to be involved. Like I haven't been picked in the last year or so, but there's no reason why if I don't start putting in some really quality performances for Ulster, then you never know, the phone call might come again. But look, the Irish rugby's in a pretty good place at the moment. They're seriously got a serious stock of back row. We talked about our stock at Ulster, but I suppose across four provinces of Ireland, it's one area that Ireland are pretty blessed, is the back row. So it's certainly a really, really tough, competition ahead of me. But look, like I said, I've got aspirations. If I play well for Ulster, that's great for Ulster. It's great for me. And fingers crossed, it would lead on to getting selected for your country. But it's one of those things. If you're on the island of Ireland and you're able to play for them, you want to. Like I don't think till the day I retire, I will have that goal in my mind. You know.
Yeah, I think it has to be everyone who's you know, eligible for Ireland, it has to be their number one goal, because if it's not, you know, then you're probably not worthy of playing for your provincial side, you know, whether it's Munster, Leinster, Connacht or Ulster. And I think that's, you know, a big strength within our squad, is everyone is ambitious to, you know, drive Ulster on as a team, but they want to be in that Irish setup. And, you know, I think for, you know, the likes of ourselves, you know, we've been there, we've played for, and we, you know, we know what it takes to play international rugby. It can be hard in our league because a big performance of the weekend against, you know, the likes of Zebra or Treviso isn't going to, like a man of the match against them, isn't going to necessarily get you a call up. You know, we see it with the likes of, you know, Reece Ruddock the last few weeks. He's been man of the match. He's still out of the squad. Sean Reedy's picked up three or four man of the matches. You know, he still hasn't been called up. So you almost have to be patient and kind of wait for, you know, the European rounds to come, where you're playing against really quality opposition, and, you know, build, you know, 2, 3, 4 big performances together. And then hopefully the call up will come, but it is tough being patient, but, you know, I think you've just got to keep believing in the process.
Yeah. Well, I suppose with the league, you can only really play what's in front of you. And like, look, there is some quality teams and quality players in the league, but yeah, like I think you touched on it there, like it's European rugby that really is, like, you know yourself, you played the league, you played European, you played international, like there's not that big a difference between top quality European Cup games and international games. And like you said, they're the ones you kind of need to be performing in. If you get the nod to play in those and you really put your hand up, that they're probably the ones that coaches are looking at the most. So, it's going to be an interesting European Cup this year. It's obviously the format's changed and everything like that, but we've got two pretty attritional and exciting teams coming our way in Toulouse and Gloucester. So no better chance to kind of put your hand up and put your best foot forward and do a good job against those sides. And the great thing about being at Ulster is, like, that Dan says it all the time, like, the more people that are involved with Ireland, the better it is for Ulster as a group, because obviously that means that Ulster as a team are performing well, and it also shows and drives the younger guys that it's something that's very achievable. Like, they're not too far, they're only a couple of steps away from being able to make that step up from senior provincial rugby to senior international rugby. So I think knowing that and getting the backing of provincial coaches, that they want you to be gone away for those kind of 2 or 3 month periods with the national side definitely helps. So I think it's great when everyone's kind of in the same direction, or kind of the ship's pointed in the same direction for everyone, you know?
Yeah, I think if you look at someone like Eric O'Sullivan, you know, I wouldn't have known Eric before I came here. I remember speaking to you before, you know, the season restarted at the end of last year, and you were saying, here, look, this guy Eric's, you know, he's a quality player. You mightn't have heard much of him. And I, you know, visibly was very impressed with him in training, a kind of very mobile guy, good handling skills, seems to tick all the boxes with the tight stuff. And look, he's strung together. You know, obviously he's had a couple of good seasons with Ulster, but he's really hit form, you know, at the tail end of last season. And then this year he's been brilliant for us. So it just shows, you know, if you're producing at provincial level, you know, that call up will come. And there's no doubt in the backs, you know, there's guys like Mikey Lowry, Stu Moore, James Hume, you know, if they can back up their quality performances in the league with some big performances in Europe, that's going to bode really well for them to make the squad.
Yeah, absolutely. All you can do is give coaches selection headaches. So, and you do that by putting your hat in the ring, by putting in good performances, like we've said. And yeah, touching on Eric, like he's just been brilliant. Like, since when I first came up here, Eric, I think, played his first game for Ulster at the very start of that season, and the season before he'd been playing AIL rugby, and it was like seamless for him. He was just unbelievable. There had been a couple of injuries in the loose head slots, and he trained really well during preseason, and just out of nowhere, like he just came. Well, I'm sure he'd been spotted by a couple of coaches before, but I was just so impressed from the get-go. He was ultra physical, really, really fit for a front five. Like you said, he's got really, really quality hands, picks really smart lines, and he just wants to get work done. Like, you'll see him chasing back on box kicks and all sorts, things that you wouldn't expect sometimes out of your traditional loose heads, but he just loves the work, and it's really paying off for him now. And I was delighted to hear now yesterday that he's in the Irish squad for this week, and fingers crossed he's involved now against Georgia, because it's definitely what he deserves is to get a shot like that. So I'm delighted for him.
Yeah, certainly. I think, you know, the front row is another you know, set of positions in the squad where, you know, the coaches can now look at it and go, right, against a given side, we can go with Jack and Marty to, let's say, for example, go with a more impactful scrum. And then you've got the likes of Tom O'Toole and Eric, who could, you know, arguably be more mobile. You know, Tom he's nearly like a loose head the way he plays. He's incredibly mobile. He's got good hands, runs good lines, good footwork on the line. And he's probably another guy who's definitely going to be knocking on the door for an international call-up.
Yeah, 100%. Sure, he was obviously in the Six Nations squad last year, and unfortunately didn't get capped before COVID hit, and picked up an ankle injury. I think it was in the league final this year, so he wasn't in the November series squad. But he's a guy who's knocking on the door, and like he's obviously hotly tipped to be a quality player in the future. And we've already seen plenty of him. He's just quality. Like, and you said Marty Moore there as well. Like, Marty's unbelievable player. Like, he's come to Ulster. He obviously had 2 years at Wasps and came to Ulster, and he was contender for player of the season probably the last 2 years. And for someone like Tom to be learning off a player of Marty's caliber, who is internationally capped already and has been around the block and has got well over 100 appearances at club level, is invaluable. And same for Eric on Jack's front. So like, Eric would have played all of the 2018 season really as starting loose head, and that Jack came along last year and they were mixing it up a bit and Jack was getting plenty of game times. But like, from Eric's point of view, he's obviously still only, I think he's only 24. So last year at 23, he was learning from a British and Irish Lion. So it's incredible experience to be picking up. So I'm not going to go into the details of front row dark arts because I haven't a clue what goes on up there, but they seem to be pushing each other pretty hard in training and in games. And it's brilliant when you know you've got like a quality front row and you've got like unbelievable guys coming off the bench, whether it be Jack or Eric or Marty and Tom, and plenty of guys coming through as well behind them as well. So it's a pretty stocked area at the moment as well.
Yeah, certainly. Looking forward, obviously we've Edinburgh this weekend in the league, and then moving whatever down week, and then moving on to Europe. With the slightly different fixtures, I suppose, and setup of the competition with only having four group games. Obviously, we've a tough enough opening fixture against Toulouse, and I think unlike previous years, you know, you really can't afford, you know, a slow start this year. You know, in previous years, we've seen teams even lose their first two games and then manage to find form and still qualify. It's very unlikely that, you know, that will be that will happen in the current format. But do you feel that there's kind of added pressure this year going into that first round of Europe?
I don't know if I'd say added pressure, to be honest. Like, it's one of those things. Every year, if you lose one game, sometimes you see the odd team lose one game and don't even qualify. So it's one of those things. Like, we have Toulouse at home first round, and like, I'm going to back us any day of the week against any team in the world at home, and the Kings fan, especially on a Friday night. Like, if we can get a crowd there, all the better. But we've had some quality wins there in the last few years. Obviously, Toulouse are an exceptional side, and we'll have to be at our absolute best. But if we don't go out with an ambitious mindset and plan on winning the game, then we certainly won't. So, no, I'm just very excited, and I'm just delighted that there's going to be European Cup rugby this season, even though it might be slightly different, but it's still the same competition. So it's going to be great, and you want to be playing against the best, you know. Like I said earlier on, they're not far off international standard European games, and to play someone like Toulouse with the likes of DuPont and Antimac and those boys would be incredible. And then following week against Gloucester, who are no mugs, have been going really, really well in the English Premiership. You know yourself, you played against them quite a number of times the last few years. So there are no easy games in Europe anymore. I know that sounds like the old cliche, but it's true. And we're gonna have to be at our very best every week that we play in the competition. But we obviously have Toulouse first up, and we need to do our very best to try and win that game. But I think we have every chance of doing it.
Yeah, certainly. I'd agree with you. I actually think, you know, with the European Cup, I nearly think there's more rugby plays in the European Cup and in some league games compared to international rugby. Like, international rugby is obviously extremely physical. But I think we've seen over the last few weekends, there's a huge amount of kicking. And, it, you know, those games have turned into more of an arm wrestle. Whereas you find, you know, at club level and when teams get to Europe, they've been playing more rugby in their own domestic league, and then you click in for a European game. You know, there's obviously a massive buzz in the club all week, and then you're going out looking to build on what you've been doing, as opposed to go into your shell and think, right, how are we going to play winning rugby? We're going to start kicking the ball more. I don't think you see as much of that, and that's why I think the European Cup has been such a good spectacle over the last few years.
Yeah, I agree, especially like what we're going to have 7 or 8 games under the belt. And then if you count the very end of last season as well, like we're going into that competition, like you said, with a team that's pretty cohesive and has had a lot of time to gel. So you'd be hoping that you can kind of put on a show. And like I said earlier on, the kind of rugby we want to play is really exciting, expansive rugby. We'll obviously make the right decisions when we need to, where it comes to the kicking side of things. But like, our coaches aren't afraid to say it, and like, it's we want to be an entertaining team, not just because it looks good, but because everyone comes to that, and it's the kind of rugby you get up every day and you want to go in and train that kind of rugby. You don't want to go in and train a game where it's all about tactical kicking or box kicking. Like, that's obviously a part of training and rugby that you do have to refine and you do have to be good at that. But the Ulster that I've been playing with the last few years is certainly the kind of team that wants to go out and score a lot of points, express ourselves as much as possible. That's definitely one of the sayings that Dwayne Peel uses a lot. I'm sure you know yourself, and backs me. He says he wants us to express ourselves and not to go into our shells. So it's definitely something to look forward to in the coming games and weeks ahead.
Yeah, certainly. And like, in the last 2 years, Ulster have done well. You know, they've qualified from their group the last 2 years. Obviously, it was a tough draw having to go away to Toulouse at the end of last year. And similar with the league, we've made, you know, the semi-final, and then we made the final this year. You know, what do you think it's going to take for us to go a step further and see some silverware back in Ravenhill?
That's a tough question. But yeah, like I guess from what I said earlier, I think the rotation we have in the squad at the moment and the guys that are able to just seamlessly fit in is always going to bode well in the future, especially if someone does pick up a knock. And sometimes in the past, a player that maybe played 90% of our games picked up a knock and someone came in, and it was almost like it was their first game, or they'd only had maybe four or five caps under the belt, and it was kind of as if it was one of those things where people were worried about them, whether they'd be phased, and then I'm sure the individual was wondering whether they'd be phased. Whereas now in these situations where rugby is an attritional sport, we're going to pick up injuries when people are able to slot in for others, and it's just seamless. I think that'll definitely help us standards, yeah, in our training, and games have definitely gone through the roof in the last year or two. So I think that will always help, yeah, when it comes to the business end of the season. And then I think it's
the strength of our squad that could, you know, get us over the line and get us winning trophy or trophies this year. But look, Jordan, it's been brilliant having you on as a fellow teammate and goal ambassador. So thank you very much for coming on.
Cheers. Thanks very much, Matt. Appreciate it.
Nice one, Jordan.
House of Rugby Ireland, here on Joe, together with Guinness. Game changed.